Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Welcome back to The After Party. We are here. I am Jeff, your host, and I'm here this week with Kelly Tibbetts.
Woohoo!
And she has preached the second week on our Esther series, and we're happy to have her as a first-time guest on the podcast. So, Kelly, can you tell us a little bit about what you preached on today?
I can, but first I want to say I'm just completely fangirling. I love this podcast, and I am so excited I get to be on it.
Great.
So well, this, yeah.
It's not the Jeff and Amy show. It is the Pastor Who Spoke show, so we're happy to have you.
Yay, I'm happy to be here.
You belong here.
Thank you. Yeah. So I have the second week in the Esther series. Mm-hmm. So we did chapters 3 and 4 today. Mm-hmm. And where chapter 4 lands is one of my favorite verses in all of scripture, which is, perhaps you were born for such mm-hmm. a time as this.
Yes. And so do you have a maybe 60-second or less summary on either on that verse itself or on what you spoke on?
Yeah. So chapter 3 starts off with we get to see those people we talked about last week. We have mm-hmm. King Xerxes and Queen Esther mm-hmm. and her cousin Mordecai, and then this man Haman, who has now risen in chapter 3 to sort of the second position of authority mm-hmm. in yes. the whole kingdom of Susa. And he realizes that Mordecai won't bow to him. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he's filled with such rage that he doesn't want to just destroy Mordecai. He wants to destroy the entire Jewish race. So he goes to Haman and says, mm-hmm. Haman goes to King Xerxes and says, hey, if I give you the silver for it, if I fund this, can we destroy every Jewish person living in all of the Persian Empire? Mm-hmm. And Xerxes, of course, doesn't know how to listen to wise counsel, so mm-hmm. he makes a terrible choice, gives Haman the signet ring, agrees that they're going to do this. They go off, and the Bible even says they start drinking together mm-hmm. while the whole city of Susa is in confusion.
Great. They're mature leaders.
Mature leaders. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. And so the hard part for King Xerxes is he doesn't know mm-hmm. his wife, Queen Esther, is actually Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And of course, neither does Haman. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the problem with most people as they read this is they're like, why is this book in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Like, God doesn't seem to be anywhere.
Right.
And I think that's exactly why it's in the Bible, is because many of us walk through seasons in our life where things are so hard, mm-hmm. all we can think is, where is God?
Right. Right. And this is the perfect book to go through to show that God is still in action and still working through it.
Yeah.
Can we start with those unwise voices that we were talking about? So Haman was listening, or Xerxes was listening to unwise voices.
From the beginning of the book of Esther.
Yeah, and that's all he seems to be doing.
Right.
What does that look like in life? Like, have you experienced that, or what does it look like to listen to unwise voices versus listening to wise voices?
Yeah, I talked a little bit about it just from the sake of a parent, mm-hmm. where you recognize, like, no matter what you try to pour into your kids yep. with love and confidence, they can go out to recess and, like, mm-hmm. one unwise kid on the playground yeah. or in high school or in college, like, the whole, you know, mm-hmm. trajectory of your life can be derailed.
Sure.
When we give the authority over to somebody who is unable to make wise choices. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I think one of, you know, the most hurtful things we can listen to are those voices in our head that don't speak truth. And mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like a seventh grade teacher mm-hmm. whose voice got stuck in your head, or just, you know, something that you learned along the way. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I learned somewhere along the way, women can do certain things, but they can't do other things.
Right.
And sometimes that voice saying that was louder than God's own voice in my life. Sure. So I think there's always unwise voices. And one of the most important things we do is try to find the wise voices that we should be listening to, especially mm-hmm. listening to God.
Yeah, definitely. And I appreciate it. You said that this morning in our morning huddle, like it could have been just a small comment that just stuck.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Do you have any of those that stick out?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything, but I just know that feeling of like everything being good, like, yeah, I don't know, preaching and getting a lot of positive comments and then hearing one thing of like, I can't believe you said that.
Like what sticks out to me is my husband is a great singer, mm-hmm. but like in seventh or eighth grade, some music teacher told him he couldn't sing.
Yeah.
And he yep. has allowed that voice to stay. Mm-hmm. And I know that's true of me too. Like yeah. I know as a mom, it's true of me that a comment I didn't intend to have any mm-hmm. weight, my kids can still point 2 years. So it sure. goes both ways.
Yeah,
like
right.
we say
right.
things we don't intend to say
right.
with any weight and yeah. people take it as so powerful. Mm-hmm. And it influences their life and their thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so we really just need to understand the power of words, I guess.
Yeah. Well, come to think of it, it just reminded me there. I have a few instances in mind where I used to be a very hyperactive child and mm-hmm. loud. And a few comments of me being too loud or too obnoxious mm-hmm. just stuck in my mind. And now I am so overcautious of being too loud of a voice.
And I bet
too forward.
Yeah. Whoever said that mm-hmm. doesn't even remember saying
it. No way.
And would be so sad probably.
Yeah.
That it's still with you all these years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are wise voices and there are unwise voices.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other?
Well, what I was thinking about them is the unwise voice mm-hmm. often leads to a wrong choice.
Sure.
And so that's what we see over and over again with mm-hmm. Xerxes, is he's listening to the wrong voices mm-hmm. and he's mm-hmm. doing things like, you know, banishing Queen Vashti or, mm-hmm. you know, having Esther as a potential concubine with all the other potential, like there's mm-hmm. just so many things that he's listening to the wrong people.
Right.
That when it comes time for her to speak to him, she's actually afraid mm-hmm. because she knows he's not somebody who takes good counsel easily.
Right.
And Haman kind of exploits that because he knows that he can speak to the king in such a way that he can get his way. The king doesn't measure who brings wise decisions before him or not. Mm-hmm. And, but the other thing that we can learn from the story of Esther is that when we listen to wise voices, it often leads to good choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that incredible power to choose our own thoughts
mm-hmm.
and to choose who we listen to and who we give, you know, any weight to people's words.
Right.
But you have to be aware that it's something. Because most of the time you just go through life and think, well, if my mother said it, it must be true.
Yeah.
When Mordecai does this so well, he says, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you were born mm-hmm. for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. There's like a little bit of discernment there.
Yes, discernment. And it feels quieter and it feels harder to hear or harder to listen to. But I love that it just shows these wise voices and the good choices they're harder. They're just inherently harder that you have to work to make those choices, but they're usually better.
That's so true. Like things that require self-control are usually so much harder.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard, and this is along the same lines, positive comments stick like Teflon and then negative comments stick like Velcro.
Yes.
And so those negative things just stick so much easier than the positive.
I agree. One of the people that influenced your life, Jeff Twigg, he mm-hmm. said that to me once. He said, when people say something negative, you hold on to it like a birthday card
mm-hmm.
and you read it over and over again.
Yeah.
And when someone says something nice, you look at it like a paycheck
and
you throw it in the trash.
Wild. Yeah.
But once he said that, I became aware of it. Mm-hmm. See, that's one of the important things is mm-hmm. we can actually become aware of the things that we're doing mm-hmm. that are not wise.
I love that.
And that really helped me in ministry because a lot of times, like you said, you can give a sermon and 12 people will say how it blessed you. And one person, for me, people usually say to me, you speak too fast. I couldn't hear you.
Oh,
I couldn't understand
you.
And you take that one comment over all the other pieces where things that were good were happening.
Mm-hmm. Which is a shame. I mean, it's good to take constructive criticism if it's there, but it's a shame that we form our identity around it.
And weight it so differently, right? Yeah.
And speaking of identity, you talked a lot about having purpose.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is tied inherently to identity.
I think it's one of the most important things I've learned mm-hmm. in my walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
Is I think I was created mm-hmm. with this gift of faith through people mm-hmm. to remind people they were made on purpose for a purpose.
Sure.
And I think it's one of the most powerful things we as a church that shares hope mm-hmm. get to do.
Yes. And I love that you got to speak on this.
Yeah.
Because you have said that since day one.
Right.
Like that has been that's like clearly your purpose is giving other people purpose. So it was great to see you be able to
I want to be able to point that out. And I think it's because I used to be an elementary school teacher and mm-hmm. I used to be a children's pastor.
Right.
And when you get to walk along children who have faith,
mm-hmm.
it's so obvious when they're little mm-hmm. that they know they have purpose.
Sure.
We've talked about this before. You can go into a classroom mm-hmm. of kindergartners and say, who wants to be my helper?
Yeah.
And they all do.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a youth pastor, like when do you start to see kids start to doubt that?
Gosh, middle school, the first time they develop self-awareness, they start to doubt themselves and compare mm-hmm. themselves to other people. You just see this, like this passion and this joyful nature. And then entering into middle school, they start to change and then they just like shrivel up into themselves. And it's so sad.
It is.
Until obviously, and there are those that find purpose, mm-hmm. especially in Harbor, people who are serving, the high school students who are serving, they have maybe started out in themselves and insecure, but just being here, finding purpose and finding ways that they can serve and be who they were created to be.
Mm-hmm.
They come out of their shell and they feel confident and they just walk in that purpose.
And that's why I love, I didn't know when I started in children's ministry mm-hmm. that the most powerful thing I was going to do was mm-hmm. give my girls an opportunity to mm-hmm. use their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that grew their confidence.
Yeah.
I always thought that the best thing would be mm-hmm. like they get to go to youth group. And they get to go on like fun trips.
Sure.
And that's how you raise like a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that really the best way to help make a disciple who makes other disciples is allow them opportunities to use their gifts.
Yeah.
And so that's one of my favorite parts of Harbor is we have the little time before our first service where we come together in a big circle and pray.
Yeah.
And I love any opportunity I have to speak life mm-hmm. over the students that are there serving.
Yeah, I see that. I see you doing that intentionally, and I love that.
Because I love how our students walk into the space. Mm-hmm. When they have clarity around whether they're leading in the cafe, yes, or they're leading on the worship team or helping back in the family life area, mm-hmm, they just walk with like a confidence and a strength that you want every single child, yes, of God, right? Yeah. No matter if you're 50 or 12.
They own this place.
They do. Great. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Hey, party people, I am interrupting our podcast right now to let you know how much we appreciate you and how much we appreciate all of your support. We can't do what we do without you. This podcast is an important part of our mission at Harbor in helping people find their way back to God. So if you are not already supporting Harbor and would like to be part of our mission, we would greatly appreciate if you would consider supporting us financially so that we can keep making this podcast and you can be part of the work God is doing through Harbor of Hope Church. If you want to contribute to our mission, you can give online at harborofhope.org/give. Again, that's harborofhope.org/give. Now, back to the party. So, Kelly, what would you say your purpose is?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we've known each other a while. Yeah. No, I know right now at this, mm-hmm, stage of my life that God has given me this gift of faith. Mm-hmm. And my gift of faith isn't like to walk into a space and see what it could be. It's when I look at people, I literally can see who they will become, mm-hmm, like who Jesus has created them to be.
Sure.
And yeah, so like a gift in my life is I get to speak that over people. And because I get to serve as a pastor, mm-hmm, people hear me and, yeah, they believe it.
That's,
and they, yeah, change. Mm-hmm. So even as you and I began working together, mm-hmm, right? Like you came one summer and, mm-hmm, we're hanging out cleaning closets. Yep. But I tell you, no, I see, yeah, this. I have no money to pay you. I don't know how it's possible.
Yeah.
But I think that this is going to be your future. And then here we are sitting here today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of cool.
Sure. Which is beautiful. And I love that you identify that as a purpose. Can we get a little one layer deeper,
mm-hmm,
if you're up for it? How do you reconcile that with maybe an unhealthy tendency to find identity in other people's,
yeah,
identity?
So I'm an Enneagram too.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
most of my work,
yeah,
is in not finding my identity by being helpful,
mm-hmm,
but in finding my identity,
mm-hmm,
as the loved daughter of God.
Sure.
So when I rest in that, mm-hmm, I'm not out rescuing people,
yeah,
and trying to solve problems that, mm-hmm, really are theirs to, yeah, solve.
Right.
Because that's where you grow.
Yeah.
That was a fun part of even preparing for this message,
mm-hmm,
was remembering how many different things God has brought me through to get to this place in my leadership,
mm-hmm,
and how hard every single stage was,
mm-hmm,
and how, right, when I was in every single stage, I didn't want to do,
mm-hmm,
the thing that I need to do.
Sure.
And it was fun today after, you know, a couple of the services to talk to other people, mm-hmm, who are wired like I am,
mm-hmm,
and can easily find their identity in being the helpful one. And then,
yes,
recognizing like helping can hurt when, mm-hmm, you're, right, not the one who's supposed to be doing whatever, paying someone's bill, mm-hmm, watching their children, doing these,
definitely,
different things. So it was fun this weekend. I got to hang out with some people that I knew 20 years ago, and I was,
great,
really worried, mm-hmm, about going to see them,
mm-hmm,
because I feel like I'm very different,
sure,
than I was 20 years ago.
Right.
And was I
going
to just slide,
ways,
back into, yeah, that like over helpful? And I, mm-hmm, did in a little way.
Okay.
Like at the end of the night, we had dinner together and we were trying to share the bill seven ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, fun, jump up and figure out everybody's,
yeah,
tip and give them all their things. So,
mm-hmm,
it's definitely a tendency I have to fight against, as most of us do,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah, we all have our stuff. But I love that you know that your purpose is to help other people find purpose,
mm-hmm,
but that is not going to happen unless you are resting in your identity,
yeah,
first, in who you are in God.
Right, because I'm just, beautiful, pointing them to, mm-hmm, where God is leading them,
mm-hmm,
but where I would break that pattern is, mm-hmm, if I would like do for them,
yes,
what they were supposed to be doing for themselves. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So you really live this out, because not only are you a pastor, you are a life coach.
Yeah.
Kelly Tibbetts, life coach at...
it's actually, what is my website? KellyTibbetts.com.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to
two I's,
put you
two B's, two T's, T-I-V-V-I-T-T-S. No,
yeah.
This commercial.
Yeah, you can search
you
it.
You cut that out.
So you can search for it online and find her if you want to hire her as a life coach. How do you operate in that with this idea?
So it was really fun. I had no desire to start a second career.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great job here at Harbor.
Sure.
And one summer, as my youngest daughter was getting ready for college, three different people came to me and asked me to mentor them.
Mm-hmm.
And from, mm-hmm, there, it just kept growing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just sort of got this clarity of what God had taught me, I can teach others. And that's,
great,
what I think disciples who make disciples look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I recognized that I became healthy when I took care of my own soul.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardest part, I think, in being a pastor is people sometimes expect the pastor to care for their soul.
Yes.
And God has created us to like partner with him in the care of our soul. But when our soul is healthy, I think we think true thoughts. And one of the things the scripture says is we can take our thoughts captive and replace them with truth.
Yeah.
And when we think true thoughts, we're able to then move with the feelings that come from that true thought to our purpose.
Right.
And what happens when you think an untrue thought over and over again, it usually brings you to fear. And fear moves you away from the purpose you were created for.
Right.
And most of the time when God is going to do something powerful and he's going to invite you into it, it's going to be so much bigger than you can do on your own. And so, of course, you should feel overwhelmed and scared and unprepared.
Sure.
And that's when you have to lean into the belief that like God is before you and beside you and with you, and he will make a way so that his name gets all the glory. And that's the most fun part of working here, I think.
Yes.
Because we just shouldn't even be open, right? Like, it's just so crazy all the things that have happened.
Yes.
But we're surrounded by the most faithful people who just show up week after week and do one faithful next step.
Yes.
And it continues to, like, share the hope of Jesus and people find their way back to God. And yeah, it's so fun to watch.
And I think that fits in really, really well with Esther, which obviously is not a coincidence because it's where our heart's at. Because Esther is following wise voices and she's fearful going to Xerxes, but is also working together for God's grander story in this and not knowing the steps, not knowing what is right, but just operating faithfully one small step at a time.
Yeah. I'm such a Bible geek. I would love to know, like, was it Mary or Joseph's lineage that Esther is sort of like God is protecting through Esther protecting the people. But yeah, I think that's what's so amazing about Esther chapter four is, you know, if the Bible is just written to make it seem like your faith in God is going to provide this like perfect life, stories like Esther's wouldn't be there.
Right.
Because she's just as human as you and I, right? Like she's put in this place. She didn't work to get there. She's there. And now she has a choice. She can pretend she's not Jewish and hope the king doesn't find out. Or as Mordecai says, like probably what will happen is you'll perish and your family will perish.
Right.
But what if? Yeah. What if the whole reason that this orphan who lives basically as a refugee in an occupied land was promoted to queen, what if? It's because you were put there for this time to do something really hard and really scary.
Yeah. Which is the wisest voice to listen to. That's great. That's beautiful. You also, you mentioned before this that you didn't quite get to talk about, and we'll talk about the end of chapter two next week in chapters five and six, oddly enough, but how Mordecai discovered a plot to assassinate Xerxes and he stopped it. He foiled it. So Mordecai protected Xerxes, even though he was not someone who would want to be protected. And then Haman gets promoted. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was just surprised. You know, I don't know how many times I've read through Esther. And that really stuck out at me, as long as well as in this book where God's not mentioned. Where you see God showing up is not just in coincidence.
Yeah.
It's in his people deciding, you know what we're going to do? We're going to cry. We're going to scream. We're going to feel our real feelings. It's scary.
Yeah.
But we're going to fast. And we're going to like recognize who is God.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I think the little difference between the end of two and the beginning of three points out what most of us have experienced in life. We're like, here's the person doing the wise thing, making the right choice. And over here, it looks like the wrong person who cut corners got promoted.
Right.
And because the Bible is full of just real people like you and I are, you know, like you and I are and that we deal with. So that was something that just stuck out to me is, wow, Mordecai did the work and Haman got the promotion.
I just a quick story. I've been accused of this before of stealing people's jokes. Specifically, my growing up, my cousin Steph, who made a lot of jokes, said them quietly, and then I said them louder.
Yeah.
And so I was affirmed as the funny guy.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But I also know the feeling when it's reversed, when I do something funny or do something that someone else copies.
And they get the credit.
I want the credit.
Yeah.
Which is, there's ego in it, but like obviously when we are walking in God, we're still operating faithfully, and hopefully that ego is not as much.
Who knows what we'll learn next week about all this at the end? There's some kind of reversal or something, right?
Yeah, and it's just getting good. So right now in the story, we are paused in like a time of tension, a time of uncertainty. Esther is they're fasting and praying, and Esther is scared she might get killed.
And
by approaching the king.
The end of four ends very interestingly.
Yeah.
It says Mordecai did as Esther commanded.
Okay.
And I think that's what like good mentorship looks like. I think it's what good parenting looks like. Is you at one point are the wise voice helping people make wise choices.
Sure.
And at some point you have to be able to receive back. And so that I love that Mordecai isn't saying to Esther, well, I'm the one who tells you what to do.
Right. It's not a consistent power dynamic.
Right.
That it has to shift at some point.
Yeah. Again, something I never noticed till I got ready to preach this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. And that's the end of chapter 4.
Wonderful. Well, is there anything else that hit the cutting room floor? Anything else that did not get said that you feel like should be said about these two chapters, or just any final words you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I just didn't get to say the second service, mm-hmm. and I got to say it in the first service. Okay. And that is one of my favorite parts about our church right now is that the children growing up here get to see a different picture than most kids do in church, which is that they're going to look around and think, oh, when girls grow up, they become preachers. Mm-hmm. And when boys grow up, they lead children's ministry. Right. And I hope what they really see is that, like, we all were created equally to serve God. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that Esther helps point to that is to just remind us that there is purpose to your life. And it's so easy to walk through life and, like, look to the left and the right and think, well, that person obviously should be doing this, but I don't know if there's a place for me.
Right.
And I just hope that Esther is one of the places where, if people are listening to this podcast, like, take this one thing with you.
Great.
If no one has said it to you in a long time, believe us. You really were made for a purpose.
Yeah.
And if you're local, come to Harbor. We'll help you find it.
I love it. Great. Well, there's no better way to end that.
All right. Great. Thanks for letting me be on your podcast.
Yeah. Well, anytime.
All right.
Please come back soon. See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.